Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Huon Aquaculture Limited half-year results briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Peter Bender, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I also have with me on the call today Phillip Vesa, who is Deputy CEO, and Tom Hesselgrove, our CFO, who will be taking you through the financial results, details of our results. The overall presentation should take around 40 minutes, and we'll cover an overview of the impact of COVID on the business, an analysis of the financials, and a review of operations over the first half, finishing with some commentary on market conditions and the outlook. It also includes more information on our approach to sustainability and climate change, which will be a standard part of our slide deck going forward. We'll then open up for questions. The first 6 months of this financial year have been very difficult, and while we have delivered an exceptional result from the operating side of the business, we are extremely disappointed to be reporting a loss for the period today. The statutory loss of 95.3 million includes a non-cash impairment charge of 79.9 million after tax, so the underlying loss is 15.4 million. On an operating basis, the loss is 18.4 million compared to a 3.7 million profit for the same period last year. The two key reasons for this turnaround are the fall in salmon prices and the increase in international freight costs, the impact of which is set out in the table on this slide. COVID has effectively lost the business $38 million in revenue through lower prices and $17 million in additional freight costs, all up a $55 million negative impact just during the half. The decision to fund our growth CapEx program over 2018 and 2019 from cash flow and debt resulted in a higher level of gearing than normal at the time when COVID hit. The reduction in cash flow and increased costs during the half, combined with the uncertain outlook, prompted a $66 million equity raising in August to reduce net debt and ensure the company remained well capitalised during COVID. The continued deterioration in the salmon price over the remainder of the year, however, saw the company's market capitalisation trading below book value. We have as a result written down the carrying value of assets on the balance sheet by $114 million and revised the terms of our banking facilities with existing bank covenants waived and new leverage covenants in place until March 2022. The board has also initiated a strategic review following a number of unsolicited approaches to assess potential corporate transactions. We will keep you informed, but I hasten to add that this work is very preliminary and does not mean that a transaction will eventuate. Before we go into the detail of the financial results, I want to start off with some comments on three key aspects of the business that have had a meaningful impact on Huon's performance for the half year. Tom and I will return to these in more detail throughout the presentation, but I want to be clear at the start about the significant impact that market conditions created by COVID have had on Huon over the past 6 months. First, there is a global oversupply of salmon due to reduced demand from the food services sector as a result of COVID restrictions. Compared to the second half of financial year 20, the average international price for salmon fell by 28% and has yet to recover. On top of that, the cost of international freight rose dramatically. From Huon's perspective, the timing of this has been particularly challenging. An additional 10,000 tonnes are coming online over 2021 as part of our 5-year plan to expand production, and these were destined for the export market, which saw Huon's average export price drop to $9.71 per kilo during the half. This compares with prices of around $11 to $13 per kilo over the previous 24 months. Our spot and contracted sales into the international market accounted for 33% of revenue in the first half. Finally, on a positive note, the farm has put in an excellent performance over the past 6 months. The effort invested to reshape how we operate the business was validated by a fall in the cost of production to $8.86 per kilo, the lowest in 5 years. There has been a consistent decline in the cost of production now for the past 2 years, confirming the benefits that have been delivered by the technology projects put in place over the past 3 years. I now want to focus on some of the specifics in relation to how COVID has impacted operations. Across all our channels, prices dropped on average by 15% compared to the previous corresponding period. As I mentioned earlier, the fall in the salmon price, together with a dramatic increase in freight costs, added up to a $55 million negative impact from COVID alone. During that period, we received some assistance from the government through the International Freight Assistance Mechanism, as well as JobKeeper for the first 3 months of the half. I mentioned earlier the excellent performance of our farming operations, and it should also be noted that domestic demand during the half increased, even with Victoria in lockdown for 4 of the 6 months. While prices in the wholesale channel fell 21%, volumes returned to pre-COVID levels and sales into the retail channel not only boomed, but also saw a modest increase in prices. So there is good reason to feel positive about the medium-term outlook as the Australian economy gets back to something approaching normal. I'll hand over now to Tom to take you through a more in-depth analysis of our financial performance.
Thanks, Peter, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll start off by mentioning that we're now reporting according to the new AASB 16 leasing accounting standards, with adjustments made to prior periods for comparative purposes. First of all, our top line performance of 19,293 tonnes was an excellent result, driven both by the significant rebuild of biomass and the excellent growing conditions. As Peter's already mentioned, our sales revenue, which rose 24%, was impacted by the 28% drop in the international salmon price for the previous half. The major contributor to that was the increased volumes sold through the spot export market, which reduced Huon's total average weighted price by 15% to $11.41 a kilo. In the domestic market, however, it was a different story, with demand growth of around 9% underpinning prices in the retail channel. Huon put significant effort into building share in the domestic market, capturing around 85% of the volume growth in the wholesale and retail segments over the period. Operating EBITDA fell 59% to $9.5 million, principally because of the fall in the salmon price and increased freight charges. Margins were squeezed to 4.4%, which left very little room for after interest charges, and 53% increase in depreciation, which now includes charges from the lease liabilities brought onto the balance sheet. As a result, Huon reported an operating loss of $18.4 million for the half. Huon's statutory earnings are influenced by the fair value adjustment of biological assets, which increased by $4.3 million in the first half, reducing the reported underlying statutory loss to $15.4 million. It's disappointing that the impact of the 16% fall in production costs during the half has been overwhelmed by these other movements. It does, however, mark an important milestone in Huon's drive to deliver efficiencies from operating at scale and changing the way we farm. The key revenue drivers were increased tonnage. The key revenue drivers were increased tonnage, lower production costs, and the fall in price. And most of these points have already been commented on. However, chart does highlight the significance of a 15% fall in average price per hog kilo when compared to the $13 to $15 per hog kilo we've come to expect in the export market in recent years. The improvement in fish performance, with a 14% rise in average hog weight to 5.77 kilos over the same period, is however even more significant. The 5.77 kilos is an all-time record average weight for Huon, and once again can be attributed to the optimal growing condition and the realisation of increased operating efficiencies across the farm. For cost drivers, the two key points to focus on in relation to cost drivers are the impact of freight costs and the downward trend in the production costs. We said in August last year that the change in smolt strategy would be influential in delivering efficiency gains through increased average size of smolt to sea. We also said that this would drive production costs, excluding freight, for FY21 to below 950 per hog. The first half performance of 886 per hog confirms that we're on track to deliver that result. On the flip side, the impact of the dramatic and sustained increase in freight costs, particularly when it affects 52% of our volume sold, can't be overstated. Costs on a per kilo basis doubled to $2.06 per kilo compared to the previous period, corresponding half, but increased 183% in terms of cash outlay to $39.7 million due to the 87% uplift in the volume of export freight. The other cost to note in relates to the loss of fish in November as a result of damage during two separate incidents, depends, and the organised theft of salmon from the Ingleburn processing facility over a period of some months during the half. Altogether, we've estimated the cost from these three incidents to be in the region of $4 million. I'll move on to the balance sheet. Net assets decreased by 21% over the prior period to $244.8 million. This was due to the after-tax impairment charge of $80 million, which was partly offset by the $66 million capital raise in August last year. Working capital increased by 8% on the prior period at $242 million, reflecting the build in the biological assets, increase in our trade receivables, as the channel mix moved towards the retail sales. Net debt, excluding lease liabilities, fell 28% on the prior period to $120.8 million, maintaining our gearing, excluding leases, at 43%. Our banks have been very supportive through this process, waiving existing bank covenants and putting a new leverage covenant in place until 31st of March next year. Biological assets, there's been a consistent increase in the value of our biological assets since FY2019, when the biological assets rose 23% to $209 million, backed up by another 26% increase in the following year. In the first half of 21, the value of the biological assets has risen by 3% on the PCP to $260 million. The two factors influencing this value are price and increased biomass in the water. At the end of calendar 2020, Huon's live fish weight at sea increased 26% to 28,800 tonnes. The average weight of fish rose 14% and the number of fish increased 5% compared to December 2019. This returns Huon's to its long-term average growth rates in terms of biomass. Overall, this growth was the 15% fall in the average market price during the half compared to the prior period. Remember that 83% of Huon's channel mix by volume has been weighted into the international sales and wholesale channel, which were both heavily impacted by the fall in international salmon pricing. This has resulted in an 18% decrease in the overall value of biological assets from $10.96 a kilo to $9.01 a kilo. The net impact on the biological assets was 3% increase to $260 million. The resulting increase in fair value assets of $4.3 million in the first half reflects the increase in the biomass from fish growth, outweighing the impact of this reduction in value from the fall in average price. Looking at the cash flow, adjusted cash flow from operations fell from $24.5 million in the first half of FY20 to $2.2 million. The conversion of operating EBITDA to cash averaged 23% during the half and reflects a number of key things. First, the increased weighting of sales into the lower priced export market, together with weaker sales revenue from the impact of COVID on the wholesale channel. Overall, 77% of sales channel revenue was impacted by lower pricing. Second, the increased cash outlay for freight, and finally, the increased feed costs due to higher production volumes. Our CapEx spend during the half was only $4 million, which is lower than previous years, mainly due to the completion of our investment programs that have been focusing on increased production capacity. Our maintenance capital requirements moving forward have eased due to downward revisions in our production outlook for the short term. I'll now hand back to Peter for some more comments on the operational performance and our focus on sustainability and outlook.
Thanks, Tom. Before I go through the performance of each of our market channels, it's helpful, I think, to keep these charts of the salmon price and the Australian dollar and NOC exchange rates relative to the US dollar in the back of your mind. What's really clear is the strength of the salmon price just before COVID in January at around 77 NOC, followed by the consistent downward pressure on the price for the majority of the year. In the first half of this financial year, the situation was compounded by the steady appreciation of the Australian dollar against the US dollar, which has continued into 2021. We're now close to 80 cents compared to 62 cents back in March last year, the highest in 3 years. The Norwegians have experienced a similar appreciation since March, but they are in a better competitive position relative to Australia when selling in the international market, which largely trades in US dollars. So let's look at how this translated into pricing and volumes in the domestic market. Volumes into the wholesale market increased marginally on the prior period, which is an excellent result when you consider that the food service sector is yet to recover and Victoria was in lockdown for most of the half. Nevertheless, pricing was significantly affected as discounting and increased marketing efforts were needed to stimulate demand. Wholesale prices fell 21% in the first half, contributing to wholesale sales revenue falling by 20%. It was a very different story for the retail channel. Q&A sold record volumes into this channel with sales up 64% compared to the prior period. This reflected new supply agreements and the launch of a new range of value-added products. Pricing increased 5% on the prior corresponding period to $15.14 per kilo, partly due to the shift in sales mix towards these higher priced value-added products. It is also a reflection of the fact that the retail market recognises Huon's reputation for quality and that there is unmet demand for its product. The outlook for this segment is positive, having recently secured increased retail supply to the domestic market starting in financial year 2022 on the basis of quality, speed to market and focus on growth. Further growth is expected in MAP, building on successful strategies to increase share in this range in the current year. With the increase in production and limit on sales into the domestic market, 52% of volumes in the half were sold into the international market. Salmon sold into the spot export market averaged 34% of revenue during the half at an average price of $9.42 per kilo. Prices haven't been this low since late 2015. Volumes sold into the spot market increased 72% on the prior corresponding period. Contracted volumes sold into the international retail channel increased 206% on the previous corresponding period, while the average price fell by 20% to $11.22 per kilo. Revenue from this segment rose by 144%, increasing its contribution from 5% to 9% of total revenue. This is a market we are committed to building over time with an emphasis on diversifying our exposure across markets and regions. One of the key objectives of both our controlled growth strategy and the recently completed program to expand our production capacity has been the delivery of production efficiencies. While this objective has been frustrated by natural events on several occasions, we have now delivered a 26% reduction in the cost of production over the past 24 months. In the first half, Huon's cost of production, excluding freight and distribution, fell 16% to $8.86 per kilo. I have to go back more than 5 years to find this level of performance. Our business was half the size it is now, and our approach to farming was very different. The other measure to look at is the cost of biological assets in the water. Over the 7 years to financial year 19, this had been progressively increasing from $6.59 a kilo to $10.81 a kilo, but in financial year 2020 it fell 17% to $8.93 a kilo. This trend continued in the first half with a 9% fall to $7.88 a kilo. There is no reason to expect that this decline won't continue, with each new year class benefiting from the full range of efficiency projects that are now in place across the farm. This is reflected in the 26% increase in overall live weight of fish at sea to 28,883 tonnes. Most on this call will be aware of the work that has been done to increase productivity in the business, so I don't intend to spend much time on this slide. It is, however, fundamental to our strategy of delivering sustainable growth well into the future. The evidence is in the performance of our salmon in the hatcheries and the Whale Point grow-out nursery, which provides us with greater flexibility in managing and optimising throughput. Without acquiring any additional leases, we can increase our total production capacity to around 40,000 tonnes. Our central control room and automated feeding technology, including the unmanned feed barges, have been key to improving feed rates, minimising waste and improving feed conversion. Feed is one of our major cost inputs, and we are constantly working with our feed suppliers to optimise diets. We also now have the choice of three suppliers for the production plants in Tasmania, which delivers both logistical and pricing advantages for us, not to mention lowering our exposure to greenhouse gas emissions. Looking to the future, we are also investing in programs focused on the long-term protection of our fish from the impacts of climate change and the diseases that are prevalent in the Tasmanian environment. Last year, we invested $2.5 million into the industry's selective breeding program, increasing human share of the biological output from 21% to 50%. We're also vaccinating our fish for POMV, a disease that has been increasingly prevalent over the past 8 years. The vaccine, developed by government laboratories and the salmon industry in Tasmania, has proved extremely beneficial, with mortalities now reduced to zero from the virus. Finally, we have the Ronja Storm, our custom-designed wellboat. It has been in operation now for a year and has revolutionised the way we manage bathing, stocking and destocking of pens, and maximising the production capacity of our pens without increasing stocking density. Operating sustainably is and always has been a core part of our approach to farming and the onshore operations that support it. There are a lot of things we do in this regard that aren't often talked about, so this new segment of our presentation is designed to address that. We now have 757 people working at Huon, and it almost goes without saying that we are very vigilant about keeping them all safe. A particular focus on injury management processes has seen a significant reduction in the incident rate in the half, as well as the lowest score in the average time lost per employee in over 5 years, despite the significant increase in production. We are constantly reinforcing with staff the importance of safety, so it is particularly encouraging to see both these numbers coming down. We have a people and culture strategy that focuses on building high-performance teams and supporting them grow. We are one of the biggest employers in Tasmania and take investing in the capabilities of our people seriously. Huon and its employees are part of a broader community, so giving back or participating in projects that have a wider impact recognises that connection. We seek out third-party accreditations for independent verification that we operate at best practice and collaborate with organisations like the Beacon Foundation and the Weetapoona Aboriginal Corporation to foster the development of skills that are needed for young people to gain access to employment. Last year, we launched a pet food product that came out of a concern to reduce the amount of salmon byproducts going to landfill. And we support research into the potential restoration of the Tasmanian giant kelp forests through the cultivation of warm water tolerant strains on our Storm Bay leases. Caring for the environment is at the core of everything we do. If we don't look after the oceans and waterways where our fish are grown, we will have no business. It's as simple as that. We have an environmental compliance team that is responsible for environmental management across all operations, and it is their task to ensure that we remain 100% compliant for all regulatory requirements. Monitoring the health of the seabed beneath and around our pens is undertaken regularly, and to ensure Huon's strict internal compliance standards are maintained. In the past 3 years, our leases have achieved a compliance level of at least 99%. We are constantly finding ways to reduce our reliance on fresh water and to either recycle our wastewater or put it into alternative productive use. Huon collaborates with other organisations to ensure that all plastic waste from marine operations can be recycled, and our product packaging is regularly assessed for its compliance with sustainable packaging guidelines. Climate change has the potential to impact the Tasmanian salmon industry, particularly through varying seawater temperatures. We've known this a long time and have been progressively reshaping the way we operate over the past 7 years to prepare for it. The most significant measures have been the reconfigurations of our lease sites, positioning new marine leases in higher energy sites offshore, where it is less likely that fish will be impacted. Other initiatives include our access to 50% of the biological output of Tasmania's selective breeding program, which breeds fish that perform better in warmer waters. We operate trial pens to constantly test new feed that will help fish convert feed in summer temperatures that are higher than their preferred range for growth. Stocking densities are reduced during summer in the larger pens, and our net cleaning technologies provide cleaner nets, which in turn maintains dissolved oxygen levels. Salmon is already recognised as one of the lowest carbon footprint proteins on the planet. However, we are constantly looking at ways in which we can reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by focusing on our supply chain. I'd now like to concentrate on the outlook, and in particular three things. First, an update on marketing strategy. Secondly, how we see the market dynamics for salmon playing out both here and internationally over the next few years. And finally, what that will mean for Huon's performance in financial year 21. Domestically, we have begun a major advertising campaign which will continue through 2021 to leverage the Huon brand and promote salmon as an alternative to other proteins, particularly chicken. You may have seen the ad. We're not doing this on our own, but we will be supported by similar marketing efforts from TASAL and the seafood industry generally. We will also continue to expand branded distribution in all product categories during financial year 21, which we anticipate will deliver a major increase in domestic per capita consumption, driving double-digit volume growth. Huon has already secured increased retail supply to the domestic market on the basis of its quality product, speed to market and focus on growth. In the wholesale market, we are making further investment in Huon's business-to-business loyalty program, Fresher Rewards, to accelerate growth as markets return to a post-COVID world. In December last year, Huon opened a new processing facility in Forestdale, Western Australia. This strengthens Huon's ability to fulfil major retail contracts, as well as creating value-added products on-site to meet local demand. Our strategy to grow the market isn't, however, confined to the domestic market. Half of Huon's product was sold on the international market in the first half, and high volumes will continue to be sold offshore for the remainder of financial year 2021 and into 2022. In the first half, contracted international retail sales increased their contribution to the group revenue from 5% to 9%, with volumes into this channel increasing 206%. Diversification of sales is also a focus in order to reduce Huon's exposure to a single international market. We now export to 9 different markets in the Asia region with strong market interest and volumes growth coming from North America. The outlook for the salmon market is cautiously optimistic, however there is general agreement that recovery will take some time. The international salmon price is currently showing signs of increasing from its recent depressed levels of 43 to 45 knot, with fish pool futures indicating a rise of 12% over calendar 21. To 58 knot. In Australia, the relentless rise of our currency against the US dollar to a 3-year high continues to undermine our competitiveness in export markets in the short term. We do not see any immediate relief either from the high cost of export freight. Nevertheless, while the outlook remains uncertain, the commencement of vaccination programs in most advanced economies is undoubtedly a positive development. Growth in global demand is expected to recover as food service gradually reopens, supporting the expectation of firmer prices as the year progresses. Locally, there is also a lot more to be cheerful about. The growth in retail demand that was experienced in the first half of the year is expected to continue, supported by the increased marketing spend by the major salmon producers and the seafood industry. Domestic demand is expected to return to its long-term average growth rate of 10%, in the current half and continue growing at this rate in the medium term. Finally, it should be noted that COVID has done little to alter the structural shortfall in supply relative to demand that exists globally. Global supply growth over the year is forecast to average only a 0.5 to 2%, which is much lower than demand growth or historical supply growth. At some point we can expect the market will normalise its response to the supply-demand imbalance through price. It's just a matter of when. So what is the outlook for Huon? First of all, we are going into the second half with record biomass in the water and fish that are delivering exceptional biological performance. While we could meet our target of at least 36,000 tonnes, the prospect of prices improving from their recent depressed levels supports delaying some of the harvests until the first half of financial year 22. So we expect the harvest of around 35,000 tonnes in financial year 21. Production costs are expected to average under $9.50 per kilo for the year as we continue to focus on driving operating efficiencies. In the current half, market supply continues to exceed demand, with international pricing not expected to improve markedly from current levels. As a consequence, we reiterate our earlier advice that operating earnings for EBITDA for financial year 21 will be substantially below last year at somewhere between 15 to 20 million. We are, however, confident in the growth of the domestic market over the short to medium term. Importantly, despite the short-term setback delivered by COVID, the underlying fundamentals within the global salmon industry of long-term structural shortfall in supply remain, and we are uniquely positioned to meet the growing demand for salmon as an environmentally responsible source of protein. That concludes the formal part of the presentation, and Phil, Tom and I would now be happy to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Michael Peet with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Peter. Just a first question, and just on the number of unsolicited approaches you had, I just wonder if you could tell us how many there were have been and whether they're sort of financial buyers or industry participants?
I'm not sure of the exact number at this point. We're using Grant Samuel to take those approaches. And obviously some had come to us direct, but we're using Grant Samuel to forward that further. It's been a range of people so far.
Are they doing DD on the business at the moment, or, and just interested in the level of sort of discussions that are going on?
It's only very early stages at the moment. We haven't progressed down that far yet.
Okay. Just on the... On the retail side and thinking about production as well, you mentioned you picked up some contracts and there are some more, I believe there's some MAP contracts coming up, potentially further volume. I'm just trying to get a sense of what you've gained in terms of retail contracts, in terms of volume and what's up for grabs potentially as we head into 22.
Michael, it's Phil here. We've picked up a fair bit of smoke product into one of the major retailers. We've also picked up about a third of the total deli business in Australia, which was, a significant win for us. And then also, we supply close to 60% of Aldi's salmon products as well. As you rightfully pointed out, the MAP tenders are coming up and we're just in the process now of, going through those tenders.
And I just wondering, what sort of time frame do they usually run for?
You're talking about the deli tenders?
The MAP contracts.
Well, those contracts are in negotiations at the moment, but, probably 3 years, 5 years, depending on where the pricing ends up. Aldi's is an annual contract, so it's a little bit of a balance. While the prices are low, they obviously want to extend those contracts. But for us, we need to look at the returns over the 3 to 5 year period and see if we're happy with that.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm just trying to work out from the 35,000 tons are going into 22. So what sort of early days, obviously, but just roughly, would we expect the harvest to increase in 22 or remain around 35?
It'll probably be quite similar. Somewhere around that mark.
Yeah, no, it'll... that 2,000 almost goes straight across, Michael, and so there'll be a little bit of an uplift in 22.
Okay. Our wholesale pricing, could you just make a comment there on, I believe you've implemented a price rise. Is that sticking, and what's the outlook there as that channel sort of starts to open up?
Yeah, no, you're correct. We have put a price rise through, and yes, happy to say it's sticking. But, you know, Pachuna went first, then Tassel, and then us. So all three of us have put a price rise through, which is supported as the market opens up more. So, you know, as Pete pointed out, fairly positive on the pricing side.
And maybe one for Tom, CapEx at 4.5, but what's the stay-in-business CapEx level for the business on an annual basis? And what should we expect for CapEx in the next couple of years?
So looking forward, we've sort of flattened out our growth expectations in the short term. So that brings the CapEx annually to between 15 and 25 million.
I guess the reason we can keep it low at the moment is that obviously a lot of the equipment is quite new, you know, fairly new. So there's not a lot of stuff that needs replacing, you know, in the shorter term.
Understood. Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Bender for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. The two things I'd like you all to take away from this result are first that Huon has delivered a sustainable reduction in production costs over the past 2 years, and that focus will continue. And secondly, that while COVID-19 has inflicted a short-term shock to the business, Huon is ready to capitalise on the increased demand for salmon as the world is released from the grip of this virus. Thank you everyone for joining the call.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.